So we've left it late on a lot of times this season. Arne Slot is not happy with the officials. The first goal was a corner that should never have been, really, but it was given, and Arne got booked for it. But we were really poor in that first half, and I think we've only got ourselves to blame for that first half performance. Was really, really bad. Alisson made three or four world-class saves in there. Saar, who scored the opening goal in the second half, Mateta also hit the post. Second half he changed it. Gakpo came on. We looked a lot better, really equipped. We looked more balanced, and we had chances. Dietz missed a golden chance to score. Isak headed one wide, fired one wide as well. Chiesa came off the bench. He got an equaliser when it looked like he might have saved us. But right at the end, we defended poorly from a long throw. It's old school, a goal. And Nketiah just onside, the ex-Arsenal man of all, by all means, scoring a winner. Palace 2, Liverpool 1.
Steve Hunter on the mic at Selhurst Park as Liverpool fell to a 96-minute sucker punch to go down to a first league defeat of the season. I'm Becky Davis and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll get the post-match thoughts of Arne Slot. First though, let's go to LFC TV's post-match show where I was joined in the studio by former Reds Nigel Spatman and Phil Babb.
Well, we've been on the positive side of that sort last minute run for the last five games, haven't we? And then I guess our luck has caught up with us at the end. We didn't deserve, probably didn't even deserve the draw, to be honest with you. Palace were very, very good, worth their money. Very well organised side, aren't they? Oliver Glass has done an incredible job there. I thought defensively they were sound. They wanted to play the right type of brand of football. And they were very, very good, Palace. Very hard to break down, even with the talent that we had at our disposal. Couldn't get close to them.
I mean, we knew it would be hard, Nigel, that the two only undefeated sides in the Premier League, these two, and for the neutral, obviously it was an entertaining game of football. That first 45, I mean, Alisson is the undisputed player of the match, I think, and Liverpool really could have been. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say five or six down at the break. He kept them in it that first half, but much improved in the second, it has to be said.
Yeah, with the substitutions, I think, and then later on as the game goes, you just get as many attacking players on the field as you can and try and get that equaliser, which we did get the equaliser and then gave a really poor goal away at the end. But, you know, overall, we were talking at the start of the game about us in the first half scoring one goal when maybe we should be scoring two or three goals to take the pressure off ourselves. That was Palace today. Palace could have been three or four up if it weren't from Alisson today, you know, in the first half. Second half, we had better balance to the team. We had a bit more possession to the team. But against Palace, it's always difficult to break them down when they're in front. And we struggled to do that today. And there was a few performances there where you could actually look out there and go, well, there wasn't many players who you couldn't have taken off to try and change the game.
Yeah, I mean, in that first 45, there was obviously a slight change in shape and formation from maybe what we're used to. And do you think that was maybe a part of why it didn't quite click in the first half, at least?
Well, obviously, the balance is key. And we've always had great success off the left, even last season with Diaz. And Gakpo, but he left Gakpo out to try Wirtz in a little bit more of a free role, and he was all over the pitch. I was saying in commentary, I'd really like to see his heat map because he was everywhere. But the amount of ground that he covered when he actually got the ball, we didn't have the energy to do anything. So it was just a little flick here, a little flick there in the first half. But I think we were all poor, apart from Ali in the first half. Virgil was imperious at times as well, but Martial in his defence, maybe the communication broke down a little bit because Ibu didn't do himself any justice. Kirkus struggled a little bit. Connor showed glimpses of good play, but as Spaka says, any outfield player could have been taken off at half time.
I would be interested, and we might find out from Arne Slot, hopefully we'll hear from him in a bit, what he would say at half time, because he must have gone in and felt quite bemused maybe at what he saw in that first half, Nigel.
Well, you know, as a manager, as a coach, as a coaching staff, you know how Palace are going to set up and you're trying to look at things during the week to say, well, how can we affect them? How can we get into those little pockets and affect? I think that's why he started Wirtz on left-hand side, so he could go in there. But Palace are a hard-working team, and when they lose the ball, they get back into shape, frustrate you, and really force you into playing those little balls, and then they nick the ball and hit you on the counter-attack. And they played really well today. Once they got the ball, they got into the spaces, put balls into the box, got one-on-ones. Ali made a couple of really good saves. But Arna must be saying, hey, we went through this and it didn't work. So second half, I've got to go back to how we originally have been playing with bringing Gakpo on, putting Wirtz a little bit more central, putting Szoboszlai to right back, and we're going to attack. And we played a lot better second half, but still not right at the top of our game. And then, with the substitution, we get 1-1, but then we give a really poor goal away to lose the game, unmarked at the back stick. I know I thought it was offside, but obviously it wasn't when we looked at the graphics. But, you know, to lose a goal that late on. And, you know, I have to be honest over the piece, probably Palace just about deserved it.
Yeah, we'll show you the match stats in a minute. You can make your own mind up on that. But let's have a look at the top of the Premier League table as it stands. It changed a lot in those last 5 minutes or so of the game. But it is, as you can see, Liverpool had the opportunity to move 8 points clear ahead of Arsenal playing at St James's Park tomorrow. Instead, the gap tonight is down to 3 points as Palace themselves move into second with that win on 12 points. Bournemouth salvaging a late draw at Elland Road against Leeds United. They are third, and Manchester City, who beat Burnley 5-1 at the Etihad today. They are fourth. Also, Arsenal and Tottenham as well, both on 10 points too. So three sides on 10 points. Liverpool, though, still top of the table. Nigel, you've got to take the positives.
Yep.
It's frustrating looking at that, thinking what it could have been tonight.
Yeah, but as Babsy said, you know, there's some games this season where we scored late goals. So you've got to take the rough and the smooth, and we conceded a late goal today and lose the 3 points. But I think sometimes it brings you back down to earth and say, right, we've got to go again midweek. We've got Champions League. We've got to get ready for that. Take it. I'll be back for that as well. I think we missed him today. I think you couldn't make that. I think he would have started today and probably Isak would have come on. So overall, we just got to look forward now. We're still top of the league. We'll still be top of the league after the weekend, whatever happens in the other results. And you say, well, we're the one with that target on our backs. Yeah. Every game you go in with Liverpool, if you're top of the league or you are Liverpool, everybody wants to beat you. And Palace put on a really good performance today, I think, and take nothing away from them.
Yeah, I suppose it's the downside of being champions. You are the scalp everyone wants to claim at the end of the day, Phil.
And not only that, the superstars that you've brought in as well. They're people up their game. Mark Gay was brilliant today. He probably had a point to prove. He can go up against Isak, arguably the best centre forward in the Premier League, and have him in his pocket for all intents and purposes. The table doesn't lie, even at this stage. Crystal Palace will be in Europe this year. They are, well, at the end of the season, they are a good team.
Depends what happens in January.
Depends what happens at Man United, because they might lose Glasner in a few weeks.
The only accusation they faced before today was they maybe hadn't faced a true top side, albeit they started the season, I think, against Chelsea 0-0, but they played Forest, they played Villa, they played West Ham. They maybe hadn't really been tested. I mean, they certainly have today, and they passed that test.
But you know, people say that, but there's no easy games in the Premier League. You still got to go there and do a job. Even away at West Ham last week, they won 2-1. It's always difficult, especially a London derby. It's difficult. So I just think you've got to give credit where credit's due sometimes, and say, you know, with the group of players, they've all bought into how the manager wants to play. They've got Mateta up front, who's a nuisance. They've got good movement from midfield. And that back three with Henderson behind them are solid. Yeah. So take nothing away from Palace. But we're still top of the league.
Absolutely.
And you just got to look onwards and upwards.
Yeah, strangely, it's their first home Premier League win as well today of this season. Because traditionally, all last season and so far it's transpired before today, they've picked up more points away from Selhurst Park.
So impressive. You think how... Yes, we were better in the second half and we created chances, but a lot were half chances, weren't they, really? And then we had Ibu's header in the first half. Yeah. Chiesa comes on. Wirtz, if he puts his chance away, changes the narrative of the game. But we didn't really pick them apart, and that's testament to how solid they are, which will hold them in good stead. They're such a good, well-organised team. Not many teams will pick anything up at Selhurst Park this season.
Yeah, credit where credit is due to Palace. Let's show you the match stats as they are, and you can make your minds up from this whether it was a deserved win for Palace or not. I mean, as we would come to expect from a Liverpool side, Nigel dominating the possession there, but fairly equal in terms of shots. Palace having more shots on target. Liverpool's XG is lower than Palace's, but not by much. I mean, looking at that, you might think Liverpool were worthy of a draw.
Well, if you'd given that one away late on, you know, got back into the game to get one all. But sometimes stats lie for me. Possession, if you go 1-0 up, you sit back, take the pressure and then hit on the counter-attack, you're not going to get much possession. And it's all about how many goals you score in the end. It's not about possession and where you have that possession. If you're knocking it across your back four in your own half, it shouldn't count really. But, you know, you look at that in Liverpool, 20 shots, Palace 16. You know, we had a lot of pressure. Some of them half chances, as Phil said, but only four shots on target of that 20, which probably isn't good enough to win a match.
Yeah, I can tell you, out of those 20 shots, Phil, 14 of those came in the second half for Liverpool. So it really does show that the difference and the contrast between those two halves.
It does, and you'd have to argue. It felt very much like Arna's first game against Ipswich last season. We were very poor in the first half, and then it probably gave them both barrels in the dressing room and they come out a different team. And I suspect that happened again today, because there needed to be a change. Yes, the personnel change, Gakpo coming on made a big difference. Chiesa, of course, coming on made a difference. But the attitude, I think, at times, go there. It's going to be tough. There are no easy games. That place is bouncing. It's very noisy. It's very attritional there. It's hard. My family live around the corner, walking distance. We can hear them, you know what I mean, when I go around Sunday. It's tough. We didn't find the polish we needed. We've got quality, star quality in that team. I'm talking big players. We needed Mo today. We probably needed a little bit more from Isak. He did tire mentally. There was some times where he made the wrong runs. There was times when he needed to go, be a little bit more dynamic when a couple of crosses came into the box. But that will come from Isak. But it just wasn't good enough, and sometimes you have games like that. We had Nottingham Forest last season.
Yeah,
we still won the league.
We did indeed. Let's speak to someone who soaked it all in person. Ray Howson at Selhurst Park looks pretty quiet now, but I imagine it was bouncing by the end of that. What was your take on that whole game, really?
I thought it was a game of two halves, to be honest with you, Becky. I thought in the first half Crystal Palace were excellent. I thought they'd done a number on Liverpool. They frustrated them, hit them on the counter-attack, had numerous chances in that first half to come in at half-time, probably 2-3 nil up. It was only down to some indifferent finishing from the Palace players, and I thought Alisson was the only player that stood up in that first half for Liverpool. I thought he was excellent. Then the second half, the game changed. Palace started to sit back. Liverpool started to get a grip on the game, created some chances, not golden opportunities, but put enough pressure on the Palace players and they started to sit back. Then we got to 1-1 and you were looking at if anyone was going to win it, it looked like it was going to be Liverpool. But I talked before the game, Palace play four set plays, corners, free kicks, throw-ins, and we didn't defend two of them well enough today and that led to the two goals. Over the course of the game, yeah, you could have said Liverpool probably could have got a draw from it, but with clear cut chances, I thought Palace probably just about edged it.
Ray, overall, after this, you're still top of the league, will remain top of the league after the weekend. You just now learn from this experience away from home. You know, Selhurst Park is always a difficult place to go. Move on, get a result at Galatasaray and then look forward and say we need to go on an unbeaten run again. Is that your idea about it?
Yeah, very similar to losing to Nottingham Forest at home last season, because they'd done a similar number. You know, they came in frustrated, kept some of their better players. Hudson-Odoi didn't play, Elanga didn't play. They played more working-like players and they frustrated Liverpool. And then as the game wore on, they brought on more attacking players, which helped them to get the victory. But Palace, you know, unbeaten in the league this season, you've got to give them a lot of credit. The manager's got a really good understanding of how he wants his team to play. They've worked it really well. Liverpool have got to learn from the defeat today what didn't go right in that first half, because once again last week against Everton, first 30 minutes, absolutely brilliant, as good as I've seen Liverpool play this season. First half today looked well off the pace. Movement wasn't good, they looked a little bit ponderous, taking too many touches, you know, not moving the ball quickly enough. A few players actually looked jaded, some of them that didn't play in the midweek fixture against Southampton. They've got to get themselves ready because they've got a couple of away games coming up against Galatasaray and obviously Chelsea next week as well. So these are big games for Liverpool, and the players can't feel sorry for themselves. They've been here before, they know how to turn things around, but they have to do it very quickly.
Ray, how do you feel about the fact that the manager took McAllister off and left Wirtz on? What did you feel? What did you see pitch side in Wirtz's performance today?
Yeah, I thought he was on the periphery when he was over on the left-hand side. He was wandering quite a lot as well, Phil. He was going from left over to the right. So the balance of the team wasn't quite where it was. But I've got to say with Alexis, and I'm a huge fan of Alexis, but the last couple of games that I've seen, he's actually looked a little bit off the pace from his performance level. Normally, he's a dominating force in that middle of the park, always wants the ball, always moving it around, you know, and always available to be in possession. Well, he didn't look like that today. I don't know if it was, something was wrong with him or not, but he just wasn't the player that we've seen for so many games for Liverpool. So he has to get his fitness levels up as well as everyone else. The players that came on had an impact. I thought Curtis came on, started to move the ball a bit quicker. Chiesa, Cody, you know, they looked threatening. They looked more influential in that second half to get Liverpool back into it. And Chiesa got the goal to make it 1-1. And you're thinking, that could be a really good point. Over the course of the 90 minutes, you take that. But you can't defend like we did for the set play that late on in the game. That's when you have to really switch on, make sure you're picking up your men. There's no one that's free in the box. Just keep that discipline, keep that professionalism, and you walk away with 1-1, and you think, all right, wasn't a great performance, but we got the draw. Now with the defeat, you just wonder how that's going to play on the mind of some of the players.
Ray, you've done an absolutely sterling job for us down there at Selhurst Park this afternoon. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to let you get off home now.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ray. We say goodbye to Ray and we say hello to our Zoom guests. Good afternoon, you guys. We've got Errol, we've got Neil and we've got Abigail. Errol, I'm going to come to yourself first. I'm sure pretty dejected by that last 10 minutes or so of the match, aren't you?
Yeah, disappointed. It's definitely not the result that any of us wanted. But I think the way that we've played so far this season, we've left it late on a number of occasions ourselves. So we know what it feels like to get those late winners. Maybe it's an opportunity now to be on the receiving end of it, to feel that pain and to feel that hurt. And I hope the lads will take it on the chin, first and foremost. I know they're all professionals and that's part and parcel of the game. But we'll have to take it on the chin now and we'll have to reset and go again in midweek. I am a little bit disappointed. The fourth, the Chiesa one, was just another sign that we are just going to grind out every single result that we need to do at some point throughout the season. But it wasn't meant to be. And at the end of the day, I think, as the gentleman said just then, it was definitely a game of two halves. But I think in terms of our second half performance on the whole, if we perform more like that throughout the course of the season, I think we will be absolutely fine. And I think the performance was a lot better in the second half. We upped the tempo. The intensity was there. You could see that we was trying to create those chances. I think there were some big misses as well. On another day, that could easily have swung in our favour for us. But I think, you know, the likes of Alisson keeping us in that game in the first half was absolutely crucial. So we was lucky to be even in the game by the time the second half started. But as you say there, that last 10 minutes, it was a bit of a roller coaster. Emotions were everywhere. But I think in the end, you know, you've kind of got to give a lot of credit to Crystal Palace and just say, you know, the better team on the day came out on top, and fair play. It's an opportunity for Liverpool to learn because we're not perfect. And we know as fans, we know we've not been perfect so far this season. So we know that there's still levels and gears that we're going to have to go up. And I just imagine this will be a bit of a pivotal moment in the season for us, really, to kind of dust ourselves off and find a way to go again.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. There are lessons. I think we said this pre-match, to be fair, as well. But yeah, There's lessons in even the hardest times. And, you know, this is a game, as Errol said, people thought it might go the other way and it hasn't. But Arne Slot will be looking at this and going, right, there's things we can learn from this. A lot of things.
Well, you learn things from every game. But in defeat, you learn even more about yourself, about your coaching staff, about your training, but also about your players, especially away from home. We're talking about Forest last year, where, you know, we started the season really well and they, they came and defended, then put attacking players on, got 1-0 up, and Arna that day changed things like he did today, put in more offensive players on, went to a back three and then to a back one, basically. But we still lost the game. Today he did exactly the same second half out of necessity. We got ourselves back to 1-1, but then we switched off for their goal right late on, and they did a Liverpool to us today, didn't they, Palace?
Yeah.
Scoring late on. But you've got to learn from these things. And going forward now, we've got two more big away games, Galatasaray and then Chelsea. And now you've got to learn from this experience as players, as a group, and say, right, when we get back to a 1-1, we need to keep what we've got late on in a game. Just accept that sometimes you just can't take the 3 points, be happy with the one. And I think that's what the learning curve is going forward. And I think Vero and all the Liverpool supporters out there, sometimes you get caught up in it so much, you want your team to win, but sometimes just settle for a point. Mm. And that's what you have to do as a player sometimes.
Yeah, Abigail, I'll bring yourself in, because like Errol says, I think when that Chiesa goal goes in, it's a bit of muscle memory for fans, isn't it? And you think, oh, we've been here again. You're almost arguably thinking, oh, we might even go on and win this. Such is the belief that has been with this side. And then when it doesn't go our way, it's almost more difficult to take, because we're just so not used to that feeling.
Yeah, I was saying to my dad, there's absolutely no chance that I'm taking a draw here. The moment that equaliser goes in, I'm going, no, this team, like you've just said, muscle memory, they know how to go and get a winner here. And it just wasn't our day. But I think we'd lost it in that first half. Alisson basically saved us. We should have been 4-5-0 down in that first half. It just feels really deflating. And I just don't think that we're defending set pieces very well either. Obviously, the corner comes in for Saar's goal, and it's a bit of a scramble. I think it's Gravenberg who doesn't manage to get it away properly. And then obviously, we shouldn't be giving away that throw-in so late in the game for Nketiah to be able to get his winner there. It just doesn't feel like we're dealing with them very well. We have more corners than they did. We ended up with 6 and we're not capitalising on them. We're not doing well enough with them. The delivery on a few of them wasn't good enough. So we just think there's a lot to assess for Slot. I don't know if a part of it is probably if we'd have had Ekitike there on the bench to come on, maybe we'd be telling a different story, because he probably is the most informed striker that we've got at the minute at the club. So for him to end up getting that red card, but I don't want to put too much blame on him, because when you've got Alexander Isak, you expect more. When you've got Mo Salah on the pitch, you expect more from them. I don't know where it all went wrong. Just in the first half, just the way we ended up setting up, it just felt like we had 2 sixes and 2 tens. It didn't look like Wirtz knew what he wanted to do, to be honest. So I just don't think we did very well. The second half was much, much better, but obviously for it to end up falling apart like that. But like we've all said, we've been on the other side of this. We've had that many late winners this season that I feel so greedy to be sitting here and complaining, because there's so many games we probably didn't really deserve to win. So we've ended up with the loss. It feels really deflating. I think the belief was still there inside of me that we were going to be the ones to go and get the winner, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, we're still top of the league.
I think everyone shared that belief in those closing stages, to be fair. Neil, you are over in Mumbai, so I know it's fairly late with you. Many thanks for joining us. Do you agree with the guys? Do you feel that Liverpool deserve to get something out of this game? Or sometimes do you just have to hold your hands up and say maybe the best side won on the day?
No, I think maybe the best side won. I think especially the way we played in the first half, and, you know, like everyone said, we could have been 4-0 final down, and Alisson once again came on top and saved us and kept us in the game, really. So we could have that push in the second half. But I think Palace deserved it. I think they wanted it more. We were second to literally everything in the first half. Of course, we did have a little nice comeback. I think the substitutes helped. I think it didn't really work out with Wirtz. I mean, he was literally everywhere, but I think it helped that the subs came on. Gakpo and Chiesa did a good job and got us back in the game. But I feel that I think we were good in, like, you know, about 15-20 minutes, and that's been like the story of, you know, most of the games this season, where at the end we just do a little, like a massive push, and in the last 10-15 minutes we're good. But I feel that, of course, it's a you know, it's a team which has a lot of new players, and I would almost say that it's a team in transition, but we somehow always find a way to win. But I think over the course of the season we'll see that, you know, we'll have to be good in a longer parts of the game than just like 15-20 minutes. So yeah, I think it's a fair result though.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Alexis McAllister.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Reds, the new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now.
You can also shop the new Adidas LFC training range.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
We'll go through the major talking points of the game now, Nigel. And obviously, we'll start with the goal, because we spoke pre-match about how pleased Oliver Glasner would be to have Ismail Assar back in the side. He missed the last two games with a hamstring injury. Yeah. Only takes 9 minutes for him to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, but he brings so much energy to the team in an attacking sense. He's sort of that link between when they play deep and then they win the ball, it goes up to Mateta. He's the one who gets up and joins in and can run beyond. But to score from a set play, he was unmarked basically in the 6 yard box. I think players switched off, but obviously, unfortunately, Ryan's header, it goes back across the box rather than out. Phil would say, as a defender, you've got to head it high and get distance on it. Went back in and he was unmarked, just tapped it in. And a great start for Palace, a poor start for us. And but credit to Palace and Sarr, you know, he brings them energy. He scored obviously against us in the Community Shield as well. But that him and Pino, those two sort of tucked in, because they don't play a 3-4-3. They play basically a 3-4-2 tucked in and one up. A little problem sometimes to midfielders that they get in those positions in there, and you've got to pick them up. But tactically, I thought Palace were very good today, but it was a poor goal from a set play for us to give away.
Yeah, from a defensive point of view, I think Ryan just can't quite get a clean contact on it, can he really? And so I can't
how critical
can't really
do you want me to be?
not very.
Our bread and butter is to keep your eye on the ball and head it. And even if you head it back out to the corner taker, you still got time to reset. Nigel's right, you want to hit it high and far. Ryan turns his back on it. He goes up. He knows there's bodies coming together. He turns his back. He hits him on the side of the head and it drops. So to say that Sarr is unmarked, his job was to stand on Ali and put him off. Mm. So you can't really mark him there, otherwise you're going to impede. So he is free. Mm. It just drops to him. Easy. What a tap in 9 minutes, you know. So, yeah, it's... Some people go, oh, we can't defend. It's an individual error from a guy who's been superb for us this season. And sometimes it happens. You take the after ball and it hits you. It's unfortunate.
I think Becky, absolutely right. And sometimes defensively, you'll get attacking players who think someone's going to win it and I'll take a gamble and I'll run this way. And I think that's what happened on the second goal, was we thought we're going to win it and we'll take a step this way forward. And then the ball goes in behind you. And it's just sometimes decision-making from individuals that cost you a goal, cost you a chance. So it's not a team thing. It's just an individual thing that sometimes you take a gamble and it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and then you're facing almost a psychological battle as well of, you know, knowing that this is a Palace side that have only conceded at that point 2 goals all season, the joint best defensive record against Arsenal. You give yourself an uphill battle right from the off, Phil.
And buoyed by a great captain in Mark Gahey. We know how good he is. He showed his class today. Said about marshalling Alexander. But that's the voice. That's the leadership in a very good defensive unit. In a back three as well. They got very, very good wing backs as well. Tyreek Mitchell played very, very well. Shepherded Mo. We saw some frustration from Mo that I hadn't not seen in many a season. But they doubled up on him at times. Gahey and Tyreek Mitchell on Mo. He had nowhere to go at the times, but backwards, couldn't get really into the game. So again, props to Palace for doing that. But very good side. Very good defensively.
We've mentioned Ali quite a few times in passing already, but let's just go into detail on some of those saves. There was a period, I think, 10, 15 minutes in that first half where he was phenomenal and relentless.
Yeah. Well, he's saving things with his knees, with his feet, everything.
So I think it was everything apart from his head, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of them might have been tight to be offside or were given for offside, but he didn't know that. He still made the saves. But I just thought Konate a couple of times got caught out today, went under his foot, slipped, and I think Mateta upset him a little bit. He got a yellow card early on, out-battled him. And sometimes psychologically against a player you don't like playing against, Phil will tell you, especially if you're a defender, you don't want them to get the better of you, and sometimes they just suck you into doing silly things. I think that happened to him today. And then Connor was trying to push on and join in and get beyond Mo because Mo couldn't get him behind. He's having to come to feet. So, you know, the structure of Crystal Palace team caused problems for us. And when they won it, they broke very quickly. And that caused us problems. And then Ali ended up making 3-4 fantastic saves in a row. And we were 1-0 down at that time. Yeah. So, you know, that's why he's a world-class goalkeeper and why he's so reliable.
I mean, I suppose when your keeper is, I haven't seen the official award, but I would imagine is Liverpool's player of the match. That kind of tells a bit of a story that maybe you don't want to be told about a game, but at the same time, credit where credit is due is phenomenal.
One save that the viewers will see later from, was it Pina, the Spanish guy, came in 8 yards out, side foot, open goal. He hits it in. Ali gets down to his right-hand side. Unbelievable. It was literally saved it on the goal line. How he kept that out was just world-class.
Defensively, I'll stay with yourself for this, but, you know, in that first half, there were fragilities at times. I think Mateta caused quite a lot of problems, and Ibu Konate had a few issues with him, as would many defenders, to be fair, in the Premier League, because he is a tough customer.
He is, and I think he certainly rattled Ibu at the Charity Shield, and I think there's some scar tissue from that. I think that we know that Ibu has an immense physical presence, but he's got someone that can match him pound for pound, you know, and that doesn't happen often in the Premier League. So when they're tussling, he's got someone that he's not getting the better of. We've seen fouls given against Ibu just from his size and strength. Not today. Mateta got inside his head. I think, as Nigel alluded to, he slipped on the halfway line. It's a little bit lapsy-daisical, got caught out. Then it was a foot race. Ali saved him. There's another one on the touchline. Mateta rolled him. I think it was another yellow card. He was really into Ibu. And I, at one stage, I was wondering if Arna was going to take him off because he was yellow carded in the first half. And we've seen him do that with Kerkez. And you think maybe bring Joey on and just maybe settle it down a little bit, or give him the scope to maybe put Ryan in the back and then change because Wirtz and Maka weren't working. So there was a stage in the game where there could have been maybe a tactical change.
Yeah, it might not surprise you to learn that those two, Mateta and Konate, contested the most duels on the pitch. It finished about even, actually, honours shared. But he's quite almost reminds me of a centre forward that you would have seen in almost the 70s and 80s. He's like quite a traditional physical presence, isn't he? Which you don't always see in the modern day game, but he's incredibly effective at what he does.
Since Glasner's been there, his game has really gone up. And I think the manager's got into it and said, this is what I need you to do for the team. And he does it superbly. The style of play with a number nine who's going to lead the line, who's going to back into the defender, you know, and then the ball drops and the midfield player gets on it for them. Or he'll occasionally run down the line and stretch it, back into people, be physical. And he does all of that. And then he gets his chances. And that shot, the curler, which Ali didn't get anywhere near, hits the post. And you think that's in the back of the net, and it came back out. Then he had the left foot volley just over the top. He's a real good player, and I think it sometimes doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He put a wonderful ball in on his left foot as well for the substitution. What's his name?
Nketiah.
Nketiah comes with it and he flicks his head. A good centre forward just puts his head through it, and the goalkeeper's got no chance. What a ball it was. So I just think he's very underrated. I think he does a great job for Palace, and I'm surprised that no one actually came in for him in the summer.
A few people have said that, because Palace seem to be a side that, you know, players do move on, and his goal scoring over the past season or two has been phenomenal, really. And you would think he would be on a few people's list, but not this summer.
Yeah, I think 22 in 50 games under Glasner, it's a good return. As you said, when you saw him at Palace before Glasner, you were hit and miss. You weren't sure. He wasn't standout. Obviously, you had people like Michael Olise, you had Eze. Those two were the stars. And then Mateta was in the background. And sometimes didn't even finish games, sometimes didn't even start. But what Glasner's done has shown how good he is as a coach, not only tactically, but getting the best out of the players that he has. So Glasner is a top, top manager that will definitely go far.
Well, speaking of coaches, let's hear from ours now. Arne Slotz has been speaking with LFC TV.
Arne, commiserations. Just give us your thoughts and feelings after that.
Very difficult first half. We had to thank Alisson to still be in the game because we could have been down 2-3-0 easily. They made it really difficult for us, like I said. And second half, much better performance from us. Created enough chances to score the equaliser, which took quite long before we did. And the moment we did, there were still 6 or 7 minutes to play, but then we conceded our second set piece of the day.
And how tough was it to take, sort of, obviously, because it feels like you've got a point at the end there with Federico scoring?
Yeah, we've felt many times how nice it feels to score in the last phase of the game and to win it. Now we felt how it feels to lose it, and I can tell you that's definitely not a nice feeling. So conceded in the extra time of extra time, poor defending in a long throw-in. Then you go away empty-handed, where a point would have maybe been maybe more than we deserved, especially when you look at the first half. Second half, maybe we did get our chances to score a goal, we lost.
Obviously there was chances for them in the first half, but we still had our own, you know, we hit the post with Ryan Gravenberch and other things like that.
Yeah, that came from set pieces, by the way, as well. It was a weird first half because we conceded so much, and because, yeah, for all what happened, I'm hoping everything is okay, why we had to wait to play on. First half we conceded, like I said, far too many chances. A few moments where they had a chance first and second half, it turned out to be offside or maybe a foul on Ibu, but the referee played on. I think it maybe would have been disallowed, but that all adds to the momentum of them. And second half we could change the momentum, created enough, but Alex, fantastic action. I think it was a little bit of a shirt pull, but he decided to stay on his feet and he was close to scoring.
And I suppose the beauty of football is at least there's a game on Tuesday now that we can focus on it and move on towards and look towards.
Yeah, but that's not, if we win or lose, it's every 3 days there's the next game, and that's also what it is now. So Palace had a week to prepare. We had only a few days to prepare, but most of our players had a week to prepare as well, so we cannot see that as an excuse. Galatasaray played yesterday, we played today, but we will be ready to play Galatasaray on Tuesday away from home.
Yeah, we will speak about that game in Turkey in just a few minutes' time. But first of all, get your reaction to Arne Slot. Nige, as ever, he's very honest and pragmatic about what he's seen today. What will his big takeaways be and the big things that he wants to speak to the lads about on the training ground next week?
Well, I think the first thing is, as a manager, as a coach, when you've lost a game and you haven't played well in the first half, you start questioning yourself about, did I pick the right team? Did I pick the right formation? Because, as I said before, you know how Palace are going to play, and you're trying to put a team out which is going to cause them problems. And it didn't quite work the first half. And once a team like Crystal Palace get in front against you, they sit back because that's what they want to do, and take all the pressure and hit you in the counter. So tactically, I thought first half, Glasner got one over Arne today. And Arne will be thinking about that, saying, well, if we come up to a side who play with a back three, who play this system, how are we going to break them down? How do we do it? So you learn from that. Second half, I think he went back to the tried and tested, brought Gakpo on the left-hand side. We had a better balance, put Szoboszlai to right back, where he's done a fantastic job when he's played there, and he's been done wherever he's played. Dominic has played fantastic this season. Maybe you say, well, maybe I should have started that way, but then what does that do to the confidence of Connor Bradley, who wants to play, and Frimpong's not quite up to match fitness. So you have all these things that you need to analyse, and that's what he'll be looking at. But straight away, you've got a game on Tuesday, so all you want to do is say, who's fit, who's not fit, everybody okay, blah, blah, blah. Let's go through all that and let's prepare for Tuesday, because we need to go now to Galatasaray, get a positive result, which is getting a win, get the confidence back, because you've got a massive game on Saturday evening against Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge. who would love to turn us over.
Of course.
I'm sure they would, yes. We'll speak about that in a minute. Before we move on to Galatasaray, just he briefly spoke about Alexander Isak. Not too many opportunities falling his way today, Phil. Obviously, he would maybe say himself he's still trying to get right up to 100% fitness, and the absence of Hugo Ekitike didn't really help the situation today. There was maybe one incident in the second half where he had a bit of a chance, looked like maybe he was stepped on at one point. What was your take on that one?
Well, first half, he was making willing runs. Unfortunately, he was into the left channel. Kerkez didn't see him. He got a little bit frustrated with Kerkez. In the end, Kerkez started trying to run them down there, but then the Palace negated any threat down there. So he was willing, he was showing, he just wasn't getting fed. He was bypassed a number of times. The incident in the second half, it was great build-up play with Curtis and Wirtz. They find Isak in the box. Quick feet, which we know he's got, beats a couple of players, but then he stumbles and then he's falling and then he just pushes it past the post. So there were encouraging signs, but I just felt that he was mentally tired because there was a couple of balls that went in there and he was just on his heels.
Yeah.
And a fit Isak would have got his head on them and it would have been a different story.
Yeah, 19 touches for Alexander Isak today, 3 of those in the Crystal Palace box. I mean, similar to Mo Salah, he probably will feel frustrated and maybe he wasn't able to almost get the opportunities as well.
Yeah, but we know what a quality player is. It's just getting up to that fitness. And if you've missed pre-season, as he's done, Phil will tell you, if you've had an injury pre-season, then you've got to try and get fit to get up to match fitness. It takes a while and everybody else is in front of you. But also is the likes of Kerkez have got to get used to what his movement is. So you need to work on when fullbacks, especially if they have a lot of the ball in those areas, where his movement is going to go. And when it's against a back three and there's one against three, you know, sometimes you've got to come to feet and in defeat and then you're further up the park and then make that spin in behind. So it's all about understanding each other. But we know what a quality player he is. I think it's just a shame today that Ekitike got sent off midweek because I think he would have started today and I think Alexander Isak would have come on. So he'd have had that chance to, you know, score another goal. He's got three this season already, hit four. But there were signs there from Isak, but he's just not quite at that sharpness and nobody expects him to be quite at that sharpness yet.
Yeah, we will have Hugo Ekitike back, of course, for Galatasaray. Mm. Let's speak about that now. They have got a flawless record so far, Phil, in the Turkish top flight this season. Played 6, won 6. However,
first, it's normal, that.
it kind of is, because what I'm going to tell you next maybe tells a different story. First Champions League game beaten 5-1 by Frankfurt. So how do you see this one going? Tricky place to go.
First of all,
that was away in Frankfurt. That was away in Germany as well.
The cauldron that is their stadium is unbelievable. One of the most partisan crowds in world football. So the environment is going to be tough, hostile. Some players will relish and thrive in that. You know, as a pro,
would
as a
you
top,
have?
Oh, absolutely loved it. I would have been given all sorts of gestures.
Mike, to be fair,
fans.
They've been at Rams Park now for the best part of 20 years. Where they played before Rams Park was even more fierce.
Yeah, that's
so
the fierce.
Maybe they've got it easy on Tuesday compared to what you
But it will be tough, you know, and obviously the manager would have done the homework of today's result for straight. But again, you have to be professional in away ties in the Champions League. You have to not lose. That's the first thing. You try. Try and be as defensive-minded as you can. We're not a defensive-minded team, to be fair. We go out to try and win and try and score with the talent that we've got. So I can't imagine too many changes in personnel. Maybe Gakpo starts, Ekitike comes in. Then it's, again, that question at right back. I totally agree with Nigel there that Sobo's done fantastically well there. Even in the Arsenal game, I thought he was superb. Yes, he scored the free kick, but his defensive play against a very, very strong Arsenal side, he was brilliant. And he showed it again today. Deliveries, getting in the right positions. He's given us a little bit of Trent with his passing range from that position. Plus, he's got the energy to get up and down, and he's got the defensive nous as well. So I really like him in there. Whether the manager persists with him in there, It's a tough one.
He ran 11.4 kilometres today, Dominic Szoboszlai. That is by far the most in the Liverpool team. He's got an incredible engine on him, Nigel.
He does that in every game. Yeah. I think it was the Arsenal game where he got forward and then we he made a run like a midfield player. He's playing it right back. And then we lost the ball and he ran past everybody to get back into the right-hand position. You go, well, this lad is fit. He's a quality player. He's gaining in confidence. But it's a nice problem to have for the manager. Where should I play him? But it's like trying to get the balance in your team. He's done great at right back. He's done great in midfield. But then you have to say, right, OK, I need to find a settled position in the end because I want to play week in, week out if you're a player. That's the big thing.
It offers up another question, though, doesn't it? Because you have to play Gravenberch in there.
Yeah.
That's an absolute given.
Yeah.
And McAllister, really, if he's
fit. So then you have to think, well, McAllister has to get up to speed. Well, who do you play then?
Do you play Wirtz in
front? There you go. You know what I mean? You've got
Gakpo,
you've got the headaches, but we've got quality headaches. I'm sure the manager enjoys
trying to solve
them.
It's a nice kind of headache to have, isn't it? Mm. Let's bring our Zoom guest back in. Errol, you're looking forward to Galatasaray? Obviously, it was an important game anyway. It feels even more important now, very crucial to get back on track.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big opportunity for us to kind of get the funk and the bad smell of a loss off us. So I definitely take that. And do you know what? Champions League, I think this season, I kind of said it when we was in the studio with a couple of the lads the other week. I think that's where we're probably going to see the best football from Liverpool at the moment, especially players like Florian Wirtz. I hope he can kind of come into his own a little bit. I know that the Champions League teams, they all back themselves in a little bit of a different way than sometimes the Premier League teams can set themselves up. You know how difficult it can be to play in our league. So when you play on the continent, it's a little bit more expansive. There's a little bit more space to get a little bit more time on the ball. And I just think it will suit some of the players that we've kind of trying to bed in at the moment, the likes of Florian Wirtz, Alexander Isak, Cody Gakpo especially. So I'd like to see them guys perform a little bit. And I think, you know, the Atletico game was a bit of a sign of that. That's the way maybe some of our season might go early doors for us. It might be where we see Liverpool kind of ball out and put on a little bit of a spectacle. And I know that game went down to the wire again, but I think in large parts we controlled Atletico and we was a little bit unlucky that they scored two fluky types of goals. So I definitely would like to see a much more impressive performance from us. I think this was as much as we didn't perform to the levels we expected today. I think the atmosphere will be kind of similar to what we can expect from going into the Champions League on midweek. I think they will be a ferocious atmosphere. I think the fans will really be up for it. And I think it will be a cauldron that we'll have to kind of get used to and adapt to very quickly. But I'd like to see Liverpool really turn up and kind of go through those gears, as I mentioned earlier on. And I think we've got the potential to do it. I think the Champions League gives us an opportunity to find a nice way to switch gears and find a different a way of playing as well at times. And genuinely think, you know, at the end of the day, like Slot just said there, whether you win or lose, you've got a game every 3 days almost. So you've just kind of got to get back on the bike and you've just got to dust yourselves off and go again. So I certainly expect Liverpool to go out there and not feel phased at the atmosphere or phased at the challenge in front of them. But I certainly would be hoping for a much better performance in midweek.
Yeah, for their part, they've got a few players that many at home will recognise. Ilkay Gundogan, of course, Leroy Sané, former Manchester City, Mario Lemina as well, left Wolves for them last season. But you would imagine, putting today aside, Liverpool's quality should be enough, Nigel.
Yeah, but I think Osimhen might be fit for them as well, who's a very good striker, quality striker, who was linked with Liverpool, I think, in the summer, but decided to move from Napoli to Galatasaray on a permanent basis. So they know all about Liverpool. It's about what we know about them in a certain way. But that's Champions League football for you, isn't it? You go there, you know what to expect from the crowd, the atmosphere. And having lost their first game against Frankfurt and lost really heavily at home, you know, they're a different team. So we've got to go there and be expecting a good performance from them, and we've got to up our performance ourselves. But for Arna, it's about getting the shape again, I think, Becky. That's what he'll be looking at after today. It'll be, right, who's fit? What can I change? Because obviously centre-backs, you can't change a lot. Joe Gomez could come in there, but do you go with Andy Robertson at left-back away from home in a European tie for his experience? So there's a few things that Arna and his coaching staff have got to sort out before that game. But I fully expect us to go there and win the game with our experience. I think you want to bounce back as quickly as possible, and it's a great place to go and bounce back.
And then it's on to Chelsea as well, Phil, of course. It feels like an incredibly tough week, this, and obviously today makes it even tougher.
When you're dying at the top table of European football and you're Premier League champions, that's what happens. You're looking at 60 games per season, come thick and fast. That's why you build quality squads. That's why you've got people off the bench that are 60, 70 million pound players that can come off and change games. These are the headaches that the managers have. We mentioned one earlier, but the rotation, the managing the fatigue, getting the reports of players being in the red zone, how do you manage that? What if it's Virgil? Nigel's mentioned that Usman's fit. Does he think about Ibu and what happened with Mateta? Mm. And he's going to play another forward who is pretty much a better version of Mateta. And what if they play him against Ibu? So there's lots of different scenarios and machinations that will be going through Arna's mind now up until Tuesday.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back late on Tuesday night after the game in Istanbul against Galatasaray. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow and make sure you never miss an episode when they drop. Goodbye for now.